on the ground who was helping other protesters amidst the violence.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us. Of course, we'll continue to cover this. As the judge in Los Angeles ruled that migrants can no longer be rounded up in Los Angeles without cause, Angel Marie Taylor, student and volunteer with 805 Immigrant Coalition, thank you for being with us. And Luis MacArthur, mayor of Oxnard, 10 miles from Camarillo, previously the police commander of Oxnard. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Support for X-Ray comes from Beeline Urban Delivery. Beeline supports businesses with access to zero-emission delivery, warehousing, and advertising services. More at b-linepdx.com.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Alberta Abbey. The Alberta Abbey is a nonprofit venue nurturing the arts in Northeast Portland by amplifying opportunities for Black and underrepresented communities. They provide studio, gallery, and performance spaces to local artists and art organizations and showcase diverse programming for local groups of all ages. More information, event calendar, and tickets available at albertaabbey.org.
Hi, this is Peter Case, and you're listening to X-Ray FM.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online and on demand at xray.fm.
Every Tuesday at 2 p.m., join me, DJ Barbarella, in studio live with a local artist, musician, or event organizer. Hear what's new and upcoming in the local scene, with new music releases and debuts. Plus, hear a special curated playlist each week from every guest. All on X-Ray, where radio is yours.
Hello, 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 radio listeners. You're tuned into Flying Saucer Safari here on X-Ray FM. I'm your host today, DJ Barbarella, and I have some really special guests in the X-Ray studio today. I'm so very stoked to be sitting here with Janet Weiss and Sam Coombs of Quasi. Woo! The crowd goes wild. I'm so honored that y'all are here. I was surprised to hear that Well, Sam hasn't been down into X-Ray before. I was like, you guys are such Portland OG legends. But you've been down in here a handful of times.
I have been here with Strange Babes, doing the We Can Be Heroes kind of vibe to their show. So I've been down here like 3 times. But yeah, we've never played live on air, which I think we should remedy soon.
Yes, we can definitely arrange that for X-Ray eventually.
I actually lived just about 2 blocks from here on Albina for a couple of years before I moved into my house where I live now, which is a few blocks away. So I lived in this neighborhood for like pushing 30 years now. So when we were up top, I was just talking about I would get my groceries at the outlet next door. And because there was no grocery stores in this neighborhood at that time. And I'm very familiar. I remember when Falcon Arts, bought this building. Before that, they had a drip system set up in the front to keep homeless people from camping out there. But you would walk by and there was always constant water dripping down the front of the building.
Like Satyricon.
Yeah. Interesting. They've fixed it up. It's a little bit nicer now.
It must be a trip to like be in one space in a community for so long that you see so many changes. And that's like one thing I feel like I really want to dive into with you guys with your, since both you have like such a pedigree of people that like the music that you've done, people that you've worked with, and seeing just like the changes of Portland. Like I want to get into all of that. But before we do, I just want to talk real quick about what you guys are on here to talk about and promote, your upcoming show with Lonely God Fest. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's actually it's two shows on the same day. One is an earlier, not quite a matinee, but a 4 p.m. all ages show. We really wanted to do, we're trying to do more all ages shows if possible. Sometimes financially, like if you're traveling, it's just, you just don't make as much money at all ages shows because the venues can't sell the alcohol. But it's so worthwhile, and it's something that you mentioned, like kind of old Portland. It's something that we were very rich in when we first moved here as all ages venues. We had X-Ray, we had La Luna, and pretty much any night of the week you could see some great show, and it was such an important space for kids, you know. And so we're trying to, you know, I'm really psyched that Swan Dive is open to that. Kudos to them for doing all ages shows. I know it's, you know, it's kind of a philosophical thing, and the promoters and the venues have to be, you know, they have to see the merit, and they're so helpful for everyone. And plus playing for the kids is always amazing. So the first show Saturday, 4 p.m. is the all ages set, and we're going to be playing keyboard and drums for that first all ages show. So it's kind of our atypical, but it's our more often common approach is the keyboards and the drums. And then the later show, which I think doors are at 8, that's going to be over 21 and up, and it's a guitar set. So it's guitar and drums, which I don't think we've ever done. So this is kind of a new thing, just, you know, after all these years, we may as well try something new. So the first show, the 4 o'clock show, all ages show, is with CMOS.
So many snaps.
Yeah, and then the 8 o'clock, 21 and up show is with Black Shelton. So it's going to be great. And they do have air conditioning. I just learned today it's going to be 97. So Joel just let me know that they do have air conditioning they put in at the beginning of the summer. So come on down. If you don't have air conditioning in your house, come on down to the show and cool off.
Yeah.
Do you have anything?
If you're not a music fan and you don't have air conditioning, they have it there.
All right.
And you may end up finding something that you like. I love that I don't know if this was done on purpose or if it's just coincidence, but the pairings that you guys are with, I mean, also seems to be these like epic duos. I mean, Black Shelton's project right now, I think, is a multi.
Yeah.
But Caleb has, I've seen him in like so many iterations, and I feel like that's something for you guys too, that you kind of like present yourself continuously. And you kind of touched on that earlier, and I have a question actually about that I will like want to just like touch on that, because I feel like we already kind of like got to that, but like, have you guys ever had like a creative thought that you were like, how do we do this, like, or can we do this, and then how did you work through that and then overcome that?
That's a good one.
I all the time, really. I mean, I just finished working on a new song, and I had to put it through all these different iterations because it never wasn't really working out. And then I had an idea for it, but I didn't think I could play it. But as it turned out, I could. Like, I'm still finding out what I can do, which, that's fun. I mean, I think that's normal for us. The creative process, that basically is what the creative process is. We know how to do a lot of stuff, so we have that like bedrock, but you always have to go past that.
And I think like the two-piece, the idea of being in a two-piece, it has like inherent challenges and inherent limitations that we sort of use to our advantage. But you will notice, like, if you look at Sam's keyboard setup, like, it's just, he's using a lot of technology to sort of, you know, pedals and to get the sound to be full enough to come across as a two-piece. For me as a drummer, like, I can play more in a two-piece, which is awesome for me. But I'm not changing my sounds. Whereas Sam is really the one who's adapting and, like, creating the low end that would usually be a whole another person, you know? And then, playing the melody and the rhythm at the same time. So I do feel like he mostly is really adapting to the kind of, the really limiting sort of, you're two people, how do you make a band? And I find it so interesting and really cool, because there's something about, like, a four-piece bass, drums, two guitars, or keyboards. It's like we've heard so much of it. And, you know, we've heard the bass playing the bass notes. And it's fun to hear people trying something different and using, like, the space of created with the instruments and the space between the notes to, like, make it feel unique, or as unique as it possibly can.
Yeah. After. I mean, and when Janet says technology, we're talking about early 90s technology.
It's technology to me.
I mean, a lot of the point of that is a lot of people that come up that have two or three piece bands, they bring a computer up,
yeah,
and they just play tracks.
Right.
And I don't respect that, and I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if we did that.
Right. I guess when I say that we're trying to do a two-piece without using tracks, we play everything,
yeah,
basically.
Limitations, yeah, are great. That's, we need to, people need to get serious about limitations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you guys, like, perform too. I there's this, like, a picture from, I think, PDX Pop from when you guys played a few years ago, that Sam, you have, like, your leg, like, up on the keyboard. Like, you guys have so much fun and bring so much energy to your sets. And I feel like, too, you guys are pretty notorious for pretty actively touring, and I think maintaining a great focus on, like, new and upcoming bands. You guys seem to really, like, be good at highlighting, like you said, like, really playing for kids, being in how do you stay connected with the younger scene, and who are people that, like, you're listening to now?
I mean, honestly, like, I learned about so many, this is going to sound silly, but I learned about so many good new bands on the K Records Instagram.
Yes.
Like, for real, like, every band that they talk about, I, you know, they'll post a song and I'll listen and be like, oh, I love this. And then I'll go listen to the record and I love this. So that's been, like, that's not the only place, but that is, like, they are consistently putting out and talking about and playing really good music, and, you know, younger people. But, you know, as you get, like, we're old and we've been around forever, and it is harder to, you know, to stay connected. So just the way everybody else does too. You can go to the record store or ask friends, or
I still go see music pretty regular, and, you know, there'd be an opening band that I try and get there and see everybody. And yeah, sometimes I think that's, like, for instance, that's how I saw CMOS. I went to see a friend of mine play. CMOS was on the bill, and it was just like, whoa, that's a good band. Yeah, so that's probably the main way for me, just actually physically seeing people.
What shows coming up are you guys attending? Who's on your roster?
Well, I do kind of want to go to the CMOS's generator show.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll stand in the back, but but yeah, I think I love the idea of the generator shows, and you start to feel like you have to do it a certain way and you have to play these certain venues. And it's really like when we were younger, there was such an underground network. Like there just were these cool underground crappy clubs, but like you were treated really well and lots of people came out. You just, you know, like I mentioned X-Ray, like you would just go to X-Ray, you know, and like Slant Six will be playing, you know, it was like a good time to just have sort of a, you know, a place where you could go every night. But I think it's still happening and it's great. I really, really am excited that, you know, there's so many bands and they're doing cool things.
You know, I put them in my little calendar. Who's on my calendar?
Some people are so organized.
I know.
I'll forget about it.
Yeah, it is easy to miss things. Yeah. If you.
It is. I ran into a friend the other day, also a former Freeform DJ, shout out. And she sent me her Google sheet of like list of shows. I was like, this is the most organized I have ever seen somebody for shows. And what a great listing of shows.
We're actually playing the next 3 weekends in a row. So yeah. It's going to be pretty much our own shows. And we're playing Bumbershoot. So that'll be fun. I haven't really gone through, and picked out like who we're going to see, but.
Yeah,
I think that'll be fun. That's and then the weekend after that, we're playing. Why am I forgetting the name? The Sky something.
Northern Sky.
Northern Sky Festival, outside of Olympia, and that's a great, really great lineup. Like, if anybody wants to drive to Olympia to see a great 2 days of music, it's pretty stellar. It's a lot of those bands I mentioned, but just check it out, Northern Sky Festival. I'm sure you could find something cool. And even if, like, you just want to check out new music, it's great. Like, Kicking Giant is playing before us. Not that they're new, but but it's like, it's just going to be great, I think.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Very cool.
The next people I have on my calendar is Orchid Shelley Miller.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go to that.
So that's several weeks. Yeah, I mean that's not a young band, but they're young. They're a young band. They're just not young people.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't specify of like who it had to be, but no, that's so fun. Do you guys have a favorite song of yours right now that you're just like is your favorite song to play?
Well, we're doing the guitar set, so we are playing some songs that we're not accustomed to playing, which is fun. Let's see. Well, I'm trying to pick my favorite guitar song to play. They're all challenging. Just kind of, we've been actually practicing for a few months for the show, just to sort of like, because we do like to be able to perform, you know, so it's kind of like you practice everything enough so you feel comfortable, and then we can just kind of throw that all away and just improvise and feel more in the moment. I think I love the song Ape Self Prevails in Me Still. That's one of my favorite songs to play, I guess. Guitar songs.
Heck yeah.
Thank you. Well, we have a song called, it's called Now What, that I don't think we ever played it live. We might have once or twice. I doubt it. Because it's tricky. And when we tried playing it, I was like, this is hard. But we've been practicing it, and it's fun because it is hard and it is tricky, and it's a little bit but at the same time it's a very loose song that you can, it has a structure and it has chords and everything, but it allows me to make little variations, so it's not an improvised song, but there's a hints of improvisation happening all the time in it, which I like that. Loose is more than, is a better term than improvised, but almost all of our songs can be like that when we play them live. And that's just like Janet says, we get the song down, we know the song, we're not thinking about playing the song correctly anymore, we're thinking about just channeling the spirit, and if that means, you know, little variations here and there, that's just like on the fly decisions we make. And it's nice when you get on tour, you get to that point after playing a few shows. But when you're just playing one-off shows like this, you really, that's why we've been practicing for some time, because it takes a while to get to that level, and that's how we want to be when we get up in front of people.
Yeah, and the guitar songs are more challenging as a two-piece than the keyboard songs, because on the keyboard, Sam's playing, you know, the left-hand low-end bass, kind of in the bass realm. So on the guitar, some of the songs were recorded with bass. We're playing them as a two-piece without bass. So it's kind of like learning how to translate those songs into something like slightly different. And that's been really fun. I've really been enjoying playing the guitar songs, mostly because I have to like rethink what the song is and how it feels, and how, you know, maybe I can do, instead of playing with like a low end presence, it could be more, you know, like airy, or there's more space, or just kind of a different feel than on the record, which I think is fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, some bands play exactly like the record, but we don't do that. Yeah. Well, our last record is more like live.
Yeah.
That record, we intentionally went into it like, we're going to be able to play all these songs live, and most of them we can, and there weren't like a ton of overdubs. We kind of did it all in the moment. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's fun. Yeah. I always really appreciate bands that every time you see them, even if it's your like same favorite songs, like that they're renewed, they're refreshed. Like, it just showcases the skill and talent, and honestly too, like you're saying, like the feeling, the spirit and the essence of the song, and like the energy that's in the moment.
Yeah, we definitely we're searching for the
every
energy.
Every show is different. Doesn't matter how many we play, everyone is different. The audience is different, the air is different, the gear could be breaking, or you know, like you're always dealing with curveballs, and every show is different. So you know, I don't expect people to see a band every time they play, but if they did with us, I think they would notice like, oh, this time wasn't like the last time, you know. Hopefully the things that they like will be there, but there'll be other stuff on top of that.
Have you guys played a show to date that has just been like a big standout, favorite crowd, favorite moment, favorite show?
Well, the last kind of tour we did was opening for Built to Spill, sort of like Texas through California. And I feel like those were all, I loved all those shows. They're so inspiring and such great people. And surprisingly, like, there were people there who had never seen us. It just seems like, you know, we were both on Up together like years ago, you know, in the mid 90s, and
we're siblings.
Yeah, it seems very much like if you that you would, you know, but there were people, you know, we just tour, the two of us, and we do merch, we do everything, we, you know, tour manage, we do all that stuff. But we were sitting at the merch table and people would come up like, wow, I'd never heard of you, like, and then we'd say, yeah, we have 10 records, and they're like, what? I mean, I feel like we're a good opening band, like it's just a quality show, you know. And it's fun to really give people like that kind of like, giving their money's worth, you know.
Yeah.
Two bands that are just, you know, doing things that like you can only do when you've been playing for a really long time. Yeah. You know, a young band has like a certain energy that is unique to being a young band, but there are definitely ways of communicating and the telepathy and, you know, things that you, over all these years of being a band, that you kind of, you like hone in on the things you really like to do, and you sort of get rid of the extraneous stuff, and it's very focused. And I feel like both bands really I don't know. We're just like been around 30 years and we have a lot of songs to pick from, and the crowd was great. It was really fun. That was my favorite show, or my favorite tour.
Well, we had also already been touring for a lot over like 2 years. And that was the last sort of the tail end of this intensive period. And we were just so comfortable doing our thing at that point. It was like falling off a log. And yet it was still fun. Like, so it wasn't boring. We still had that energy, and yeah, it's nice to, it's, you don't get to that point without a lot of work. Right. And so it was nice to enjoy like a nice tour where, we were just the openers. We didn't have to, do a lot of the organization of it. We didn't have to deal with contracts so much, and we didn't have all this extraneous stuff. We could just like, okay, yeah, show up, set up, play, have fun. And
yeah, when you open, you get to load in later, so we had more time in the day.
Yeah, so nice,
to like, you know, we like 2 coffees a day pretty much. Like, and we put in the time to like research the good coffee, and so when you have to be there later, you just have more time to like find the good places, and we would do some sightseeing. It was really fun. It was my birthday, and we like, you know, went to the national park, and just kind of having more time and less. It is a lot less stress. They paid us well, which really helped. And we, you know, we travel super. We jam econo, as Mike Watt would say. So like we can take a day off because we only have one room. You know, we have a minivan. Like, we don't have a lot of expenses that keep us like in the grind of touring. So if we need to take a drive day, we take a drive day. But it's, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that's cool to go look at, and a lot of weird places to stop. And it was really nice to have time and to not have to worry about like ticket counts and all that stuff. It was like we just show up and shred, and then, you know, hang out and watch Built to Spill. Like, it was pretty fun.
Dream life.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. So, I mean, some tours are stressful for whatever reason. This one was not. And it's good it was the last one, because then, you know, we'll be like, oh, touring's fun. And on a good note, as they say.
Well, so it sounds like you guys have, like, from, I think, just working together for a long time and working in the industry a long time, you do have like a good like balance with your creative self, and like seeing that you're like, oh, okay, we have this room to do these fun things. Like, how do you build those in for yourself of making sure that you're balancing like work with play to make sure that you can have this like long career?
You, Sam, like, we've both played in a lot of other bands, and each band has its own schedule. You know, each band, like, you know, you played in a band that's just hardcore, like, play every night, go. You know, we're kind of like, we want to have some fun too. But I think you have the three-week tour limit, which you can talk about that.
That's, well, that makes any tour doable for me. Like, when, many years ago, she's a grown young woman now, but when my daughter was born, I agreed with my wife to put a 3-week limit on touring, because it's hard to have an infant, you know, without any help. So and that just kind of stuck, and I decided that, even though, yeah, my daughter's gone and it's not a problem, I could tour forever.
She's not gone. She's just
she's in Seattle. She's not in Portland. I don't want to sound like gone, like dead. But that makes it. I found that from now, I do it for me, not for my wife, not for my daughter, because even if there's always tours where it's not going right, things are going wrong. Vehicles breaking down, gears breaking down, attendance is bad, there's stresses at home, whatever, all kinds of things. If it's 3 weeks long, you know, you see that end of the tunnel. But if it's 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I mean, we used to tour for 6 weeks sometimes. the light at the end of the tunnel is just it's hard to see, yeah. You know. So I think that's helped us to still maintain a sense of fun, and it's not a chore to tour. There's still adventures to be had, and yeah, it's helpful.
Unfortunately for the drummers, like, it takes 2 weeks pretty much to really get going. After 2 weeks, you're playing so well, and then you only have a week left.
No.
But I have been on 6 week tours where it's just those last 2 weeks are
tiring.
They're just everyone. There's always someone in the van that has to verbalize how tired they are. It's like, we're all tired. Like, my partner Drew, he always says, like, you don't need to say it.
Yeah.
Like, just zip it up. Like, everybody's tired. Everybody's
Brings
ready.
Everybody down.
Everybody's ready to go home. But yeah, the 3 week tour is pretty magical.
Yeah.
It's just that it's a big country, so it's hard. It means you have to do things in legs, you know.
Yeah,
and because we have low expenses, it works. You know, you can't really. We wouldn't try to get around the whole country in like 4 weeks probably, because it just makes it long drives and it's miserable.
Yeah, and then you don't get to go and see all the fun
that's
stuff.
That's right not enough coffee. The coffee places will all be closed because they all close at like 3 o'clock.
It's
now
true. It's true. Yeah
and we curse them.
For folks that they're just tuning in, you guys have an upcoming couple of shows. Why don't you mention just the dates of those just one more time for
yeah
folks?
Okay, so this Saturday the 23rd is a double header at Swan Dive in Portland. The first show, 4 p.m., is All Ages with Sea Moss. 8 p.m., 21 and Up with Black Shelton. The 4 o'clock is a keyboard set, and the 8 o'clock is a guitar set. So you could stay for both, and you would see two totally different sets of songs. Then the next weekend, we're playing Bumbershoot on the 30th. And then the next weekend, we're playing Northern Sky Fest just outside of Olympia on the 6th.
Yeah.
So, that's, I mean, for us, I feel like I've been sitting around all summer waiting. I was just waiting to play some shows.
We haven't played for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like you guys have some pretty cool merch online as well, which we can't say what it is online with radio language, but it looks cool. People want to go and look you guys up.
Yeah, and we'll probably bring some of that to the show as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, heck yeah.
That's a word you can't say?
Oh, the S?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, no.
Okay.
It's a shh word. We'll say that. some
Can
people
you say
in the government could be described as shh, you know. But anyway, I always ask people to bring on some tunes on this show, and I'm so very excited to dig through your guys' record collection. What a treat, what an honor. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we get to that, I want to ask just one last thing of your guys' music, because this is something I love asking of people on this show. Tell me about, like, your creative process. Like, I think we touched on it a tiny bit of, like, how you guys kind of, like, jam, but how is your writing process? Like, where does that start? Where does inspiration come from? How do you guys come together and make tunes? And how has that evolved, really, over, like, the, you know, course of the years that you guys have been making music together?
Well, it starts with this guy.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it at all. After all these years, I don't know. You just get an idea, and usually your mind knows right away if it's a bad idea or if it has potential. But I don't know why. There's no, like, checklist. And then, you know, you just get interested in something that occurs to you to do, and then you just do it.
But, interestingly, with you, you've told me that songs, like, come to you, lyrics and music, together. Which I think is not, it's not that common, or it's not, you know, most people will come up with the music first, or they'll write the lyrics, and then, you know, write a song to the lyrics. But I feel like you've talked about, like, you know, writing a song in the bathtub, or on your bike, or walking around, and...
Well, in the bathtub, it's very relaxing, and there's no distractions.
Yeah.
So it's nice. But that does happen, but it's not like the whole song pops into existence.
Fully realized, yeah.
It's like a few lines and a melody and maybe an idea of a rhythm or a tempo.
I mean, that's a lot.
That's it, though. But then you have to build it all out from there, and that's just the job part of it.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about that process?
I don't know. Sit down and start noodling around, messing around, and if it seems lame, then you move on. If it seems good, then you kind of follow that stream. And I don't. It's very intuitive. I don't really understand it.
I mean, Sam writes a lot of songs. Like, it seems like whatever it is you're channeling, or like, there's a lot going on in your creative world. You read a lot, you listen to tons of music. Like, I feel like you're sort of feeding the creativity. And I feel like there's other things that, like, people are spending time, like, you know, going to parties or going out and socializing, and you don't really do those things. Like, you know, you're insular with your family, and you have sort of more time, I feel like, to for the creative ideas to sort of...
All our music comes from other music, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're not an avant-garde band just creating sound from nothing. So you listen to something, and it's like, wow, listen to that beat. Like, I want to do that. So then you just kind of do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just copying stuff,
yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, it is true. I don't, like, recently, this is only the second time I've done it, but that Stax record 9-CD set, start on CD1 at the beginning, and go all the way through 9 CDs and just listen to the whole thing in order without skipping. Just, and that's what, I don't watch TV. I'm listening to music.
Yeah.
And
you read and listen to music.
Yeah.
And that probably is helpful if you're trying to actually compose music.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so then Sam comes to practice with, or sends me usually like a demo with some new ideas or new songs.
I have a bunch more demos too, by the way.
And like, he'll say like, oh yeah, I wanted to get these ideas demoed by Christmas, and it's like 12 new things, you know. And it's fun for me because I get to kind of go through and I really like this, I really like that. I mean, I guess I'm sort of an editor,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah,
you, in a
yeah.
weird way. I mean, most of the ideas are really good, and I still like, I was talking the other day about, like, Sam writes the songs, but it's not Quasi without me. Like, I definitely, when I hear the songs, I make them, you know.
Well, I'm writing songs for Janet.
For both of us.
I'm writing songs for Quasi.
Yeah, so it's
so
like, there's a space for me there.
I'm leaving the space.
And I'm, like, encouraged to, you know, really play rambunctiously, or I'm like encouraged to put my stamp on things and to put my personality into it, which is just not always the case with a drummer. It's just not. I've been in a lot of bands, and some bands, they, you know, they don't want your personality the time.
We're a rock band. We're not a pop band. It's not a set of chords and lyrics where you're just supposed to figure out a part and showcase the singer. We're trying to basically whoop ass up there. I mean,
the song is
just a scaffolding for us to
channel
the spirit, really.
Right. So, just saying that I feel like it's really important for every person in a band to, like, put their personality into it, so that you're, you know, you don't want to be a disposable member. The idea of a person in a band just being disposable is, it doesn't jive with me at all. 'Cause I just think you could be playing a floor tom or playing a maraca and you could still be just indispensable to the butt. When we were younger, there was the band Hazel and they had a dancer, you know, and he was in the band. Like, it just, that was a part of their band that they wanted. And he was like an artist, you know, so he was really very weird and, you know, they were sort of more normal and he was really weird. And so they wanted that. And I feel like that's important. It's really important to me because I don't write lyrics and I can come up with musical ideas and like I could think of an intro or think of like, oh, this could be a bridge, or I could write whole songs, but I don't. But I really like to contribute to like arrangements and like the feel of the song. And just in Quasi, it's, you know, Sam comes up with a lot of parts. So it's like, I just want to make them better and make them really sound like us. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
I mean, I think, like, something I found this overarching theme in your guys' music is this, like, sense of playfulness that really comes through musically a lot.
Well, people always say that Sam is really funny, and
he's so, so stoked serious right now.
If you can see his face. Well, they think the lyrics are, I mean, they are funny, but they're not, like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know, you are funny, but the way, like, an interviewer will say it, it's kind of, like, not exactly right on.
Yeah.
I'm a serious person, and I'm not really trying to be funny, but if you... life, it's just, like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
And if you write about life and you write about the absurdity, people find it funny. Well, that's not my intention.
I mean, you do, the way you put words together can be funny. And you know, you have a command of language. But yeah, I mean, no one would say, like, Nick Cave is funny. You're funnier, you're a lot funnier than Nick Cave.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Very, like, playful and
yeah.
Very playful. Yeah.
I mean, I do think it's... we're trying to, it's fun. It's like rock and roll is, it came out of just, it's a social music. It's about dancing. It's about getting together and having fun. And then it evolved beyond that. But like, I don't want to lose that entirely. It shouldn't be so serious that, you know, you have to put a corduroy jacket on with a patch on the elbow and like stroke your chin to try and understand it. I remember once, after a show many, many, many years ago, it was in Minneapolis, and one of the crew was like, hey, Quiet Riot's playing across town. This was after, long after all their hits. And they were playing this little club, and it was like half full maybe. But they were so awesome. They were just like into it, doing all their stuff, and the audience was going bonkers. And then Kevin Dubrow, the lead singer, says, yeah, it ain't rocket science, it's rock and roll. And I was like, right on. That's how I feel exactly.
Yeah, you feel it. It's through your body.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's why I listen to rock and roll and not, you know, I listen to other types of music too, but I keep coming back to rock and roll because it's fun. Funny is different from fun.
Yeah, totally.
But it's part of the attitude of not being so self-serious, and you know, it's not. It's a release, and you respond to it physically, and you gotta have a little bit of levity, I think.
Is there any like advice that you would give to your younger self or to like starting musicians now? I guess we kind of touched on that of like making sure you put yourself into your music, but anything else of advice that you would give to yourself or to upstarting musicians now?
I mean, we came out of a very like anti-establishment, anti-corporate scene, and I'm not sure that that's I'm not sure that that's like how kids are experiencing music, but I do feel like being wary of corporations is, you know, and what they're getting from you and taking from you as far as like your credibility or your, you know, you work really hard to creatively on something and then, you know, Spotify or what corporate, whatever corporation is, you know, in vogue at the moment will try to like use that for their own credibility. And I feel like that's always just a good thing to be aware of. Because movements, you know, underground movements are, you know, they're really powerful, and that's why those corporations are trying to like co-opt your ideas. But it's really dangerous, and I feel like it will kind of ruin the, you know, the fun of it. It can really take away from, you know, takes away the specialness of what you're doing when some big corporation, you know, puts it in their commercial or, you know, uses it to sell some totally meaningless
AI steals it.
Yeah, I mean that's
like a whole nother
that's the new, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, we came out of punk like Janet said in the 80s, you know, when we were, it was a very different world. But the punk scene, you know, over a period of years had built a whole, basically a whole world, a whole infrastructure, the clubs, I don't know, magazines, people just, it was, you know, the DIY, they called it, you just, it wasn't there. The corporate labels had sort of grabbed up everything and established a certain way, and there was all these people that were basically left out, like, I don't look like that, I don't sound like that, I don't. And they started their own thing, and that was punk rock. But, you know, evolved, we come out of that. And so, and that infrastructure is still there. When we tour, we're playing a lot of the same places that have been around in some iteration or another since those days. So it's, you can do a lot. I mean, that was before, people just did it by word of mouth and by traveling around. And you know, now there are so many resources available for people. And yet I think they're used mostly as a distraction, and people aren't using the resources available now to build these alternate infrastructures and worlds that you can be a little bit freer in, you know. And but we still have that. That's just where we came from, and we still, it's still there a little bit, you know, and we still try and work with that spirit.
I don't really know what's going to happen with AI, but it seems bad. Yeah. I mean, I thought I would be much older when it, you know, they're like, it's happening so fast. I'm like, no, slow down.
Yeah.
But I do have faith that the kids are going to figure out a way to,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
mess with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. You just have to. Yeah. It's going to be life or death, you know, creatively. And
truly,
I do trust that, like, you know, I hope that the, you know, that desire to kind of have a community and have it be human is going to be there. I'm sure it will. I really, mm-hmm. as things, I mean, we're just in such a like no man's land right now, mm-hmm. where we don't even know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure people are going to love it as much as they think, but yeah, with all that money going into it, they'll make it succeed.
Yeah,
so there will be a resistance to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I hope.
And part of that making that resistance is going and attending like local shows and supporting local communities. Like if we want those spaces, like we have to be that person and be those people. So show up to these guys' shows coming up. Again, give a shout out one more time. This show's gone by so fast. I want to just thank you two again one more time. I know this hour just goes by so fast. So thank you two so, so, so much again for joining us here on X-Ray. Give a shout out one more time with those upcoming shows.
Okay. Well, thank you for having us. Yes. Really appreciate it. Okay, upcoming shows. August 23rd, Saturday, Portland, Swan Dive, 4 o'clock matinee with Sea Moss, all ages. Get your kids down there. Kids, you guys come on down. See how the old fogies are doing it. Yeah, I think, you know.
Sea Moss is pretty young.
Sea Moss is young. And they already know about Sea Moss. But they're, you know. But stick around. You might learn a thing or two. And then 8 o'clock is the 21 and over set, guitar set with Black Shelton. The 30th in Seattle, Bumbershoot, and the 6th outside of Olympia at Northern Sky Fest.
You did that. Amazing. That, like, seriously, you need a medal for being able to just recite that.
Sam, what have you? Well, I've, like, made, you know, you make posts that have all the information.
Please
and, like,
recite.
But yeah. I should have let you do it because that would have been fun.
Well, thank you too so much again. And I wanted to get to some of your music because you did get some records on the record player. So we have 10 minutes here to play those out. So go ahead and mention what you have on the turntables there, and we'll play those out.
Now I'm like, what do I want to?
We're debating.
Oh, okay, I remember what I put on.
Yeah.
I put on a Wendy Renee song first. It's just such a killer track. And then I put on a Shocking Blue song. I like to, when I come into the radio, I like to play women's voices because it just doesn't happen enough. And as we all know, it is a very rough time to be a woman and to have all these rights kind of taken away from us. And I feel like we need to center women's voices.
Yes.
Okay.
Couldn't have said it better. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
With Janet Weiss and Sam Coombs in the X-Ray Studio. Thank you so much again. And here's the last few songs we're going to play for you guys.
Your life. straight world.